All right, hello, and welcome to the Yet Another Value podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Walker, and with me today, I'm excited to have on for the second time, John Boyer, who is a principal at Boyer Investment Group. John, how's it going?
Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you back. Let me start. You've been on the podcast before, so you know I start the podcast the same way every time. That's by pitching you my guest. People can listen to the first podcast we did, which I'll include in the show notes if they want to hear the full pitch. But, you know, we've been talking on and off for the past couple months since that podcast. I've always respected y'all's work. But since then, you know, my respect's grown. It's really been a pleasure to swap thoughts and stuff. And I'm, you know, just happy to have made the connection and happy to have you back on here today.
No, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And we certainly have something interesting to talk about today.
We do. And we've got a lot of similar interests. You and I are both really interested in the media space and cable space, which makes it great. But we do have something to talk about. It is the merger of MSG Networks, the ticker is MSGN, with MSG Entertainment, the ticker is MSGE. As our listeners might guess from the tickers and the names, these companies do have a lot in common, but they're merging. I think you and I both have thoughts on the deal, but I'll just toss it over to you. What are these companies and why are they merging?
The short answer is I don't know in terms of why they're merging. And that's, I think, why we're talking. And again, thanks for having me. And I really enjoyed, just as a side note, your latest blog post. I think you released it yesterday. It was a great read. So the merger, it's an alphabet soup, literally. So I'll just break down all three entities really quickly.
Yes, perfect.
So you have... Originally, to take a step back further, in 2007, Cablevision, which owned Madison Square Garden, AMC Networks, Cablevision itself, the Garden, the networks, everything, tried to take itself private. They had super voting shares, and what they did, which was extremely shareholder friendly, was say, hey, we are going to offer X. If you don't, we're not going to vote our shares, and the majority of the minority will approve it. They didn't like the shares. They didn't like the price. And, you know, my former boss, Mario Gabelli, was instrumental in putting the deal down.
They was the Dolan family, who at the time were the controlling shareholders of Cablevision, now are the controlling shareholders of all the MSGs. I just want to clarify who the they is.
Exactly. The they are the Dolan, specifically James Dolan, who is the one really running it, who, if you're a Knicks or Rangers fan, probably have a very strong view of him. So they wouldn't let the deal go through. And after that, they found shareholder religion. Cablevision had the highest payout ratio in the cable space. They levered up their balance sheet, paid out a large special dividend. They spun out MSG initially.
Yep.
And then they did another spin out. They spun out MSGN, which is the broadcast home, essentially, of the Knicks and the Rangers, to highlight the value of their sports media rights.
Yep.
Extremely shareholder friendly. So they did that. We applauded them. And MSG was a fantastic performer. And then... in April of last year, it took a while, but it finally happened in April, they spun out MSG again into two entities. You have MSG Sports, which owns essentially the Knicks and the Rangers, just roughly. And then you have MSG Entertainment, which owns their entertainment business. It owns Madison Square Garden. It owns the air rights, as well as a boatload of cash, as well as they're in the middle of doing something that's quite controversial called the MSG Sphere in Las Vegas.
Yep.
So that is the 50,000 foot view of what each entity has.
Beautiful.
So there was a Bloomberg story about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, you and I both saw it, and I think we chatted about it after that. MSGE, the entertainment company, was going to buy MSGN. My initial reaction was it was a Cub reporter for Bloomberg who very easily could have messed up the signal, you know, the stocks.
Yep.
Could easily be done, because in our mind, the logical buyer of the networks are the sports teams. It makes a heck of a lot of sense. If you're a buyer of a sports team, you would want to own the broadcast rights to it. It just makes sense. There's absolutely no strategic rationale that I can think of besides, you know, public company costs that would make it so that it made sense for MSGE to buy MSGN. There's nothing. Even on the call after it was announced, they couldn't really articulate a real synergy. It was ridiculous. And to make matters worse is they're stealing the company. They're paying, I think, five and a half times EBITDA for this thing, where if you look at a comparable, the YES Network, which is the broadcast home of the New York Yankees, among other things, was sold in a forced sale because Disney owned it when they bought Fox and they had to get rid of it, I think for 8.5 times. And I would say that's a pretty good comp. And about a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, MSGN, who's been unbelievably shareholder friendly, did bought back 20% of the shares of MSGN. So presumably they thought the shares were cheap. You know, if they were going to buy back 20% of the shares, they levered up to do so at $16, which is roughly where the deal is being done. It's based on the price of kind of MSGE. But so the deal is unbelievably, you know, they're stealing it. And my guess, you know, there's two reasons why they could be doing this, at least in my mind. One, MSGE wants a great source of cash to help fund the Sphere initiative.
Yep.
Which is not a legitimate reason to do this. It's, you know, it's not in shareholders' best interest. They still do have a fiduciary responsibility to MSGN shareholders. Or two, they are flushing out another buyer.
Yep.
Because they've essentially put the company in play, and there are numerous potential buyers for it. Sinclair comes to mind. They own regional sports networks.
Yep.
Comcast, which we discussed, you and I, before. Charter. Maybe even a private equity firm, but you don't have the synergies to do that because the free cash flow is enormous. So the deal is a real head scratcher. The Dolan shouldn't be allowed to get away with this. It's a definition of self-dealing. They're on both sides of the transaction. So how they were able to do this, quote unquote, independently is a joke. So that's my long-winded way of, that's why I'm here. Besides, I like talking to you.
No, I appreciate that. And look, I'm going to start out by saying, I agree with you. This is one of the dumbest deals I've seen public companies doing. You know, I think MSGE has a cash flow problem as they try to build the Spheres, and Dolan looked and said, oh, there's a lot of cash flow over at MSGN. Let's go take that cash flow and use it for my pet project, the Sphere. But we can get there. Let's start with the devil's advocate case, right? So you and I both, I think, agree, no strategic rationale, but let's try and put our hats on. You're an independent committee supposedly approved this. What is the upside? Why are these two companies combining? If you were trying to, you know, put on your best face and say why this deal makes sense, what's the deal rationale here?
The deal rationale, if I was on their side, you would say that RSNs, you know, regional sports networks, you know, there's a bubble in them, and you have to worry about, you know, will MSOs, multi-system operators, you know, like Charter, et cetera, will they continue to allow their subscribers to pay such high prices for it? And at some point, that bubble is going to burst. On the surface, it's a decent argument on the surface, but if you peel back the onion just a little bit, you have one of the biggest changes in RSNs going forward that is getting some attention, but not nearly enough. So you have this pandemic, obviously. We're going to have to pay for it. You know, New York State, Cuomo yesterday, announced he's legalizing cannabis.
Yep.
Whatever, you know, whatever people think about that is perfectly fine. The next way they're going to raise money, as New Jersey did, is to legalize sports gambling. And that makes MSGN, the network that broadcasts the games, unbelievably valuable, because it turns into literally, you know, to take a phrase from the 90s, must-see TV. Even when the Knicks stink, which is a large percentage of the time, although they are at 500 this year, I think they're 24-24, and they're in playoff contention. If you're betting on the game, you're going to watch it. And cable, you know, in the New York area, you have you have Charter, you have Verizon, you have pretty competitive landscape. And I don't think any of these companies, except Charlie Ergen, are going to risk losing a loyal fan base or people wanting to bet on games, which is distinct, by shutting off the MSGN spigot. I just don't think it's going to happen. And the writing's on the wall. If it's not next year, it's the year after. There's going to be legalized sports gambling. So the future growth prospects of MSGN are fantastic. I mean, advertising, you know, sponsorship opportunities, which is really probably on the MSGE side, but so many things could happen.
You know, what upsets me here is I agree with you. You know, for years, I've thought MSGN, if and when sports betting comes, they are going to be a mammoth beneficiary. And what upsets me here is, you know, the deal's announced and a week later, sports betting, you know, starts getting, maybe it's this year, next year, but it's coming, right? So you've got timeline on that. And we've got visibility into how valuable a regional sports network is for this, right? Like, I think back to two things. First, in their, I think it was their last earnings call, MSGN came and they said, hey, you know, we've been doing these silly interactive apps that are just free to play. And when people engage with them, their engagement with our product goes through the roof, right? I think they said, if somebody uses one of the interactive apps, they watch 4 to 5 more games per season than they did before they started using them. And they spend like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of more minutes watching games and watching our programming. So that's just with a silly free-to-play game. With sports betting, like, are you kidding me? And then you've got the evidence that sports bettors really value RSNs as marketing. And you mentioned Sinclair, who I'm sure we'll talk about when we talk other bettors, but Sinclair did that deal with Bailey's, and Bailey's rebranded all Sinclair owned. It was Fox Sports Net, and they're rebranding all of them as Bailey's, and Bailey's gave them $200 million in equity, which I think is worth like $500 to $600 million now, once you factor in the warrants. They're going to pay them tens of millions per year in licensing and advertising, all these fees. And you look at MSGN and you say, this is the freaking best RSN in America outside of maybe Yes Network. And they haven't branded it yet. They've sports betting's on the come. Like, Fox Sports Net or Bailey's or whoever, somebody would pay huge, huge amounts of money for all this. And it's right there. And MSG is buying them, you know, right before all that comes out.
Yeah, it's literally, you know, the Dolans are really taking advantage of their super voting shares. The only saving grace is, you know, we get MSGE shares, but that just, to me, it leaves a horrible taste in your mouth. It also is, how will MSGE treat their shareholders going forward? And it gets diluted. I mean, it muddies the MSGE story, which was you know, hopefully we're at the tail end of the pandemic. Hopefully, I have no idea. But people are going to start going to games. People, you know, I've been a very vocal critic of the Sphere, which I think the estimate is $1.6 billion.
Agreed.
To build. But Dolan might be right. It might be, you know, by the time it's built, 2023, 2024, Vegas could be running on all cylinders, and it's a shiny new thing. You got to say, you know, it's just, the whole thing is extremely disappointing from a shareholder perspective. I've been very public over the last couple of years defending the Dolans because they have been shareholder friendly. And why they would do this when they know they're going to get sued. I mean, you and I talked yesterday. I mean, this doesn't get nearly as bad, but David Murdoch, not Rupert. I mean, we were investors in Dole Foods, and they did a deal, and our shareholders and our clients, I think, made a decent amount of money, but he utilized his position and ended up getting sued. And I think he had to pay $150 million personally. I'm still getting checks from the, you know, and this transaction took seven years ago from the Dole transaction. I mean, it's, in today's day and age of activist investors, how they think this is going to happen is beyond me.
Well, let me put on my kind of Dolan or MSE hat or whatever and push back a little bit, right? Like, I think one of the pushbacks that both you and I have, but they could rightfully push back on our pushback and say, hey, look, did we buy 20% of the company at 16 or 1650 or whatever 18 months ago? Yes. And we thought it was cheap at the time. Did Yes Network transact at 8x and we're kind of transacting this at 5x or so, despite sports betting being on the come? Yes, all that's true. But COVID happened since then, right? And cord cutting has accelerated dramatically. The outlook for RSNs, I think, is much, much murkier. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but their subscriber base is probably down 15% in the past 18 months, maybe a little bit more. The outlook's murkier. So I think their pushback would be, hey, what we do here is we merge MSGE and MSGN, and there are going to be some revenue opportunities, right? Like you look at the Miami Heat got a ton for their licensing their arena to some Bitcoin company or something. You could say, hey, I bet you DraftKings or whatever the sports betting company would be, I bet you they'd pay more to rebrand MSGN and Madison Square Garden to the DraftKings arena and the DraftKings channel than they would just for MSGN or just for MSG. So you could see some synergies there. I'm just trying to put the bull case on, but how would you push back on that?
I would say, what in that scenario that you laid out that they couldn't do contractually? There is absolutely nothing there where you get a representative from MSGE, get a representative of MSGN, you get a representative of the DraftKings in your situation, and they hammer out a deal. And just the same way that MSGS, the sports team, and MSGE have a deal dealing with selling suites and all of that. So that there's
yep.
Or the way that they share the Dolan's planes, the cost of that. This is all can be done contractually. There's no reason why you need to have a transaction in order to effectuate this. And yes, COVID clearly happened, but also, and you had a decrease in subscribers because you had people, also fleeing New York and probably canceling their cable. Some yep. people are going to come back. You have long-term contracts in there, and you also have other areas that MSGN, maybe they do a deal with, Amazon or other type of things where they can, or other streaming or over-the-top type of services. So there's lots of different ways to do it, but to justify a 5x multiple is ridiculous, especially when the Yes Network comp was a forced sale. Disney wanted to get rid, they had to, of it. Logical, they cared a lot more about buying Fox than they did about selling the Yes Network. And what's really interesting is if you look at one of the buyers of the Yes Network, I think they bought 20%, was Amazon.
I think that's right. Yeah, and I was going to mention that. Yep.
So you have now non-traditional players getting into this space. What is Amazon going to do with it? I'm not 100% sure. We'll see. But you have a whole pool of bidders. So why not open this up? Let's see what DraftKings would pay. I mean, I know that was something you mentioned yesterday. I hadn't really thought about that for this. Let's see what the cable companies, Maffei, who I respect a lot, helps run John Malone's empire, has always said the two logical owners of the media of an RSN are the sports teams that they broadcast, or a cable operator. Let's open it up. Let's see what they'll pay. Why? And the other thing is, just going back to MSGE really briefly, and I think the reason is, as we alluded to earlier, is they have a cash problem.
Yep.
There's two things that they can do with that. One, stop spending money. Slow down the construction of the Sphere in London. Let's see how Vegas goes. Use the cash from Las Vegas to fund future initiatives. They could also get a partner if they want to do Vegas and do yep. London. Or they own, I know this is not necessarily the ideal time, but they own the air rights above Madison Square Garden Entertainment. They literally own air. I mean, it's the strangest concept. And they're very valuable. Maybe not right now because, you know, everyone's talking about the death of New York City. But if you wait a year or two, I bet you that those air rights would be extremely valuable and a company like Vornado or another one would pay for them. And you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not too far from the equity value of the MSGN transaction. So it's it's baffling.
I want to talk buyers more in a second, but I do want to dive into two things that we've kind of mentioned in passing. The first thing, you know, if we just think back to the original, how all of this started, right? It was Cablevision and the Dolans offered to take it private, and they had a majority of the minority provision, which says, hey, you know, the Dolans control the majority of the voting rights, but we want to make sure that the minority shareholders agree to this deal. So if the majority of the minority shareholders, excluding all the Dolan votes, vote for it, then the deal gets approved. Minority didn't do it that time. So the company stayed public. And that's how you kind of end up with all these spins and the Altice takeout and everything. One thing that's interesting with MSGN and MSGE, I suppose, but I don't think there's a majority of minority clause in here, right? So it's just majority of the vote and the Dolans have super voting stock. So the Dolans can kind of push through what they're doing. What do you think about that? And why do you think they didn't include, you know, we've got a precedent. 15 years ago, they included it. Now they don't. Why do you think they didn't include it here?
Well, maybe because they weren't able to steal Cablevision is probably the symptom.
They learned from their mistakes.
Although, I mean, I think they probably knew. I mean, these are not dumb people. They're smart people that the price was too low given all the assets that they own. So I don't know kind of why they did it. It's horrible corporate governance. It's going to make a fantastic case. You know, I don't know if this is, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm a recovering lawyer. I'm not sure if this has been litigated where on both sides of the transaction, you have a controlling shareholder. From what I understand, you know, you always have to have a good process. And they hired, you know, it looked like Wachtell. They hired Paul Weiss. I mean, the white shoe of the white shoe law firms to guide them through this. But it's still, you can't just take a company and say, hey, you know, we're going to give you a token amount.
You know, and it's just incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a transaction where it's a share for share deal and they announce it and both sides of the transaction go down. Like that it is pretty crazy to destroy that much value in a share for share deal, which MSG and MSGN both went down. You know, the day of, I think they were down 10%, but if you kind of look over the past month, markets have been a little weird, but I think they're down like 25 to 30% each because this deal, nobody likes this deal. It's silly.
As Andrew Barry of Barron's wrote, and I loved his line that the Dolans pulled the rare feat of alienating both sides on a takeover transaction. I mean, this has really never been done before. It's crazy. I mean, as I alluded to earlier, now you really lose, you know, you always had that quote unquote Dolan discount, but now who's going to trust them? You know, if this is how they're going to treat minority shareholders.
You know, Jacob Poeltl, he's a NBA center, I believe, for the Raptors right now, or maybe the Spurs, I think. He airballed two free throws in a row the other night, which is extremely rare for a pro NBA player. Like, you and I might be able not to airball two in a row. This is the rare case of a double airball in a merger case is kind of how I've been thinking about it. Let's talk about the Sphere real quick, because we've talked about it. It's a, you know, multi-billion dollar. They're going to build one in Las Vegas. It's going to be state of the art. They're planning on building another in London, state of the art. It's for you go, great acoustics, everything. And you and I think we both hate this deal. James Dolan would probably come back and say people hated it when we renovated MSG. We spent $1 billion on that. People thought it'd be awful. We probably got low teens IRR, maybe even better on that renovation. People hated it when we bought and renovated the Forum. That deal turned out great. So he might say, hey, maybe I just know what I'm doing when it comes to renovating and buying and building big arenas. How are you thinking about the Forum? Maybe just a little bit more color on the, or sorry, how are you thinking about the Sphere? Maybe just a little bit more color on what's going on there.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. The original, I think, cost of renovation was about $500 million for the garden, ended up being $1 billion. Shareholders got really upset, and he was correct. It was a great use of capital. I mean, you just have to look. You know, everyone said the Barclays Center was going to kill MSG, and, you know, Barclays Center is nothing by comparison, and he did a great job. He made a lot of money in the forum. It was a fantastic deal, and he sold it to Ballmer, and he kind of extorted him a little bit, or held him up for it, which was, he's a good, shrewd businessman. But, you know, to me, he has literally the world's greatest arena. Why mess with a good thing? Why not take on a bigger partner and just maybe not have all the equity and de-risk it? So what we did as, you know, investors, when we do our valuation, we cut the cash on hand, which was substantial. It was well over $1 billion, in half. And we still, on a now an $82 stock, get to about $116 roughly. Then that's with a 50% haircut. So we could be wrong. Absolutely. And I'm not saying don't do this fear. I'd rather him not. I'd rather him take it on an equity partner. I think in today's world, it wouldn't be a problem to get someone there. But all these growth initiatives are fine. Just don't use MSGN as the piggy bank. That's really all I'm asking.
You know, and I agree with you, Sphere might turn out well, but I do, you know, when they first announced the Sphere, I think they were saying $1.2 billion. And then I remember the contractor came out and gave them their first estimate, and they said, no, it's going to be $1.5 billion. And MSG, you know, they put that out there, and they came out and they said, we think the contractor's negotiating because, you know, the contractor gets paid. I might be misremembering it. You know, it's been over the years and there's been COVID in the meantime, but they were saying, hey, the contractor says $1.5 billion because they make, you know, 10% or whatever. So they start high and then you negotiate it down. We're going to get it to our number. And then in December, they fired the contractor and said, oh, it's actually going to be $1.6 billion. And it just got all the makings of something that's going to be a boondoggle. And it's also got something where, you know, it's no secret that James Dolan's real passion is music. This is a Sphere. It's built for musicians. It's built to be the best acoustic environment in the world. It's got all the makings of a boondoggle, and it's got all the makings of, hey, my passion project's going way over money. I've got all this cash flow over at MSGN. I need to go get that just so I can keep funding my passion project. And that's not shareholder value friendly, very obviously.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. It's, you know, one point. I mean, who's ever dealt with a contractor and think it's going to go in lower than they expected? Of course it goes higher. I mean, that's just anyone who's ever built a house or done construction on a house will attest that you have to add 20%. So yeah, it could be higher than the 1.2 turns into 1.6, which turns into 2, but it's still, you know, when you have other options, I mean, they were, you know, MSGE, you know, mortgaged some of their properties. They did not mortgage the garden, which they could, I'm assuming. There's a lot of other ways to fund this without disadvantaging minority shareholders. So he has to stop thinking, you know, he just should either stop spending so much money or figure out other ways to fund it.
I want to talk two more things before we go. The first is, I think you and I, you know, I think MSG for a long time traded with an enormous Dolan discount because people looked at his history of managing the Knicks and said, this guy's awful. And people assumed that his capital allocation was awful as well. I think both you and I said for a long time, actually, if you look, it's gotten pretty good. It's probably, you know, people are saying it's F and it's probably somewhere in the B range. You know, after Cablevision bid got rejected, they started, they did the dividend and they started repurchasing shares. They did all these spinoffs. I think they were pretty rational in buying back shares. Would I have rather them been more aggressive? Absolutely. But I think they did a nice job buying back shares, all this type of stuff. They did nice deals, you know, the form, everybody hated it. MSG, we talked about this. But I think recently you can look and say, the Sphere seems to be a boondoggle. This deal is awful. And, you know, everyone forgets they bought Tao for a pretty nice multiple. And that deal seems awful as well. So, you know, when I look at this, I say, were you and I defending, you know, I don't think you and I were over here saying Dolan's the best capital allocator ever, but we were saying maybe he's a C, maybe he's a B, he's not an F. Was he just getting lucky for a while? And is he actually an F or a D minus? Or like, it kind of seems like every worry everyone ever had about him is kind of coming true.
Listen, I don't think he's going to ever make the Outsiders book in the second edition. He's not John Malone. He's not Warren Buffett. He's been fortunate in that he has unbelievable assets.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And, you know, he's been a decent steward of it, and he's been generally fair. So was he lucky? I mean, listen, he got lucky in the sense that the value of sports rights and sports teams since 2010 has gone up dramatically. That certainly helped. But he, you know, I think he's generally done an okay job. But think about how much more valuable the teams would be if he actually – look what happened with the Clippers when Steve Ballmer came in. You had an owner who was enthusiastic, who wanted to spend money on players, who really turned around the team. What happens if that was in New York? I mean, the team would be unbelievably valuable. And he just kind of gets in the way. So, you know, maybe it's time for him to reevaluate all of his assets.
Clippers are a great example. Warriors, you look at those. I mean, they were one of the least valuable franchises in the league. And then, you know, you catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, all that. But now they're one of the top three most valuable franchises. You look at what they built out there. It's incredible. If the Knicks, you know, they're always around the most valuable franchises, but that's with the team, you know, more than half the teams make the playoffs every year. And the Knicks have made the playoffs, what, three times in the past 20 years? I mean, the team is a laughingstock and they're valuable just because of the city. Like, if this was a good team and they've got all these advantages, just imagine. You know what else upsets me up MSGN deal? We'll talk buyers in a second. The Knicks are finally good, right? Like, they've got good assets. They've got all their draft picks going forward. They might make the playoffs. And we're selling the company, quote unquote, to MSG right now, right before that playoff boost comes in and our ratings are going up. People are getting excited. We've got a future and they're selling them right now. It's so frustrating.
I echo your frustration. When I wrote the letter this weekend, it was somewhat cathartic, but it also gets you really upset. And hopefully, you know, listen, you have some very influential shareholders in and very good shareholders in MSGE, MSGN, who own, you know, well over 20% of both companies. And, you know, hopefully they use whatever power that they can to try and bring in another bidder.
Yeah, let's talk other bidder real quick. I think that's a great way to wrap this up. So, you know, as we talk, I think MSGN's trading around $15 per share. And I think the value of the, you know, if the deal goes through and you got the MSG stock, I think it would be a little bit over 14. So MSGN's trading through the deal. Clearly, people are placing optionality on MSGN is in play. There might be another bidder. This is a cheap price. I think just about anyone can justify a bid. But let's walk through the most likely bidders. You know, you can do top three, why, whatever you do. But let's just talk about who you think the most likely interlopers here could be.
I don't think MSGS will come in. So I don't think the Dolans are going to bid against themselves.
I was wondering if you had like two controlling entities and then the third just randomly came in with a topping aggressive bid. Like it would make no sense, but it would be really funny.
Yeah. No. Well, a lot of things this year that happened have made no sense. So
that is true.
Why not? Yep. Top three bidders. Probably the most likely outcome is the Dolans pay a little bit more.
Yep.
That, you know, they're forced to pay a couple bucks more. Unfortunately, I think that's probably what will happen. But, you know, an asset like this doesn't go on sale very often. And Sinclair, you know, Charter, Comcast, they come in. I think those are the logical people who have that have the MSOs in that footprint. You had mentioned yesterday, which I thought was fascinating, was, I believe, a DraftKings.
Yep.
That could be interesting too. I honestly hadn't really considered that, but you know, I don't know what their capital situation is. But yeah, that's certainly a possibility. And you have non-traditional media players getting into the business. And I'm not saying that they're going to do this, but as I mentioned earlier, Amazon bought 20% of the YES Network. Not 100% sure why, but you know, as I said, these are valuable assets. It's well known that sports gambling is going to be should be legalized in the next couple of years. And I think there's a lot of players who are going to want to compete.
Yeah. If I, my list would be, I think the most likely would be Sinclair. I think there'd be a lot of synergies with the Sinclair, you know, they own all the old Fox RSNs. I think that's a very obvious potential there. They've already got the Bally's deal struck. So I think there's lots of potential synergies there. I think Amazon is an interesting player. You mentioned they had the 20% of Yes Network. They just got Thursday Night Football rights. So clearly they're starting to dip their toes into some sports rights. There are questions of, you know, Amazon's obviously a national / global player. Are you getting, it's, our MSGN is a local player, but I do think there could be some interesting things there. DraftKings is probably, I think there's a chance, but I do think it's probably a little bit far out there, but it does make sense, right? DraftKings comes, buys them, rebrands them. Hey, we've got the most visible RSN in the world. It's the going to be the largest gambling market in America. Let's go get that. It gives us a lot of cash flow, which we can use to fund all of these customer acquisition, this huge nationwide customer acquisition cost. So I do think there's a possibility there. I would probably discount Charter and Comcast just a little bit because I think Comcast has had enough. I think both have had enough of the RSN business and, you know, Charter with what's happening with the Dodgers channel up there. I discount it, but I wouldn't completely discount it. AT&T's got a lot of RSNs, their possibility, but I think there are a lot of values. Honestly, at this price, I think a private equity firm could come in and lob in a bid and they could just run this thing for cash flow and make more than enough money because people forget MSGN is not just an RSN. This is the best RSN in America, right? They have the rights to the Knicks and Rangers for another 15 years. It's in the best market for an RSN in America. Like, this is the best RSN in America. It should go for more than your typical RSN. It should go for something like a Yes Network. So, yeah, anything else you want to say on that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on an activist shareholder kind of coming in. I mean, you know, this is too small for an icon, probably. I mean, it's a small equity value, but do you see someone coming in and you think that's a possibility?
You know, I do think it's a possibility. I am scratching my head a little bit on who the activist shareholder would be, because as you said, like MSGN is a quirky asset, right? There aren't a lot of, it's a single network RSN. There aren't any of those out there anymore. It's a little bit smaller than the big guy size, but you know what? It is New York City. So it's the Dolans. If you're an activist out there, just go do it. A, because the financial returns look attractive, and B, you're going to make a name for yourself, right? So taking on Dolans. And one other thing I'll mention, MSGN, obviously they're levered, right? But they do have about $250 or $300 million in cash on their balance sheet. It's not net cash because there's more debt on their balance sheet, but that's about $4 per share in cash if I'm doing my math right. I mean, the Dolans could very easily change this transaction around by announcing, hey, we're going to pay out a $3 per share MSGN dividend when we close this. Keep the terms the same right now, but add a $3 per share dividend. I think that would be a topper. I still think it would be a bad deal, but I think it would make it a little bit more palatable. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly better than what we have now. I mean, yeah, it's a cash flow machine. I mean, it's not necessarily it's somewhat misleading, but I think it's like a 20 or 25% free cash flow yield. I mean, obviously there's debt on the company. So yeah, it's, as you mentioned earlier, you know, a private equity firm can do some interesting things with this, especially if perhaps, you know, they were able to negotiate another 5 years of the contract with the Knicks and the Rangers. So there's so many things that could be done. I think it's unfortunate that it happened this week because clearly everyone's eyes have been glued to the family office debacle. And this kind of was swept under the rug. But I think, you know, maybe you have some people who over the next couple of weeks come out of the woodwork. We shall see.
Well, look, you published a really nice letter to the board a couple of days ago. I'll be sure to include that in the show notes. I'm going to keep tweeting and we might try to do a press release as well, because this is a bad deal. Shareholders deserve better. And you know, Dolan might be doing this to fund a pet project, but every entity he has a Dolan discount. And this is a reason why they have a Dolan discount. And I think if he improved the terms or canceled this or something, I think it would help the overall Dolan empire, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. No, it surely would. And one other thing, which is just kind of funny, I don't think he's on the MSGE board, but Nelson Peltz is on the MSGS board. You know,
yep.
shareholder rights activist, etc. I mean, the fact that he's even associated with something like this is ridiculous. So it's, you know, hopefully some of the corporate governance people come on out and, you know, we get a better return for shareholders. And yeah.
Your old boss, Mario Gabelli, might be the one we need to call to see if he can do this. He did it with, he got something going with Dole, and he's pushed back on these before, and this is in his wheelhouse. So maybe we'll hear from him at some point.
I certainly hope so. He's a very active tweeter, and it's curious that he only had one very cryptic tweet on the MSGN deal. I wouldn't be surprised if we heard from Mario. Certainly in his wheelhouse, certainly not a shy guy, and he's a terrific media investor. So I hope to hear from him.
All of that is true. The only thing I'd say is all of his tweets are a little bit cryptic, so it's tough to assign that gist to this one. But I agree. I think this would be in his wheelhouse, and it'd be great. Anything else you want to say here before we wrap up?
No, thank you for having me. It's great. And again, I really enjoy your blog that you publish. So there's a lot of really great links and also your commentary. Obviously, you've been, I think, right on with SPACs and all sorts of other stuff, and really timely and really, really interesting to read. And you have to, I know you did a tongue in cheek, but you have to change the name from Yet Another Value Blog, because it's not Yet Another Value Blog. It's a great blog.
Well, look, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate our conversation. Really appreciate you popping on the pod. And I appreciate you trying to protect shareholder value at MSGN, because I'm passionate about it. It means a lot to me, and appreciate everything. So, John, been great having you on. Looking forward to the third podcast, and we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.